said, "One way or another, the nanos must have come from your lab, Chris."
"No,"
she snapped. Trying to sound reasonable, McClintock said, "But Chris, your lab at Cellini is the only place in the solar system that manufactures nanomachines." For a moment, Grant thought that Cardenas was going to erupt in fury. Her face went white, her jaws clenched so hard he could see the muscles in her face tighten. But then she seemed to relax a little. Taking a breath, she said calmly, "My laboratory did not produce lethal nanomachines."
"How can you be certain?"
Duongo asked, trying not to be accusative.
"After all, you have a staff, don't you?
Can you be absolutely certain that none of them produced the gobblers?" Cardenas flinched visibly at the term, but she responded, "Yes, I am absolutely certain. I have only a dozen people on my staff. I've known most of them for many years. I can vouch for each and every one of them without hesitation."
"That's carrying loyalty a bit far, don't you think?" McClintock said. "After all, Chris, we're talking about murder here. Sabotage and outright murder."
"No one on my staff would produce destructive nanos," Cardenas insisted. "I'd stake my life on that."
Luongo smiled, but asked again, "Then where did the gobblers come from?"
Grant spoke up. "There are rumors of secret nano labs on Earth. Wealthy people use them for therapeutic reasons."
"And cosmetic," Luongo added. "I've heard such rumors also."
"From Earth?" McClintock sounded totally incredulous. "You mean someone from Earth obtained destructive nanomachines from a secret laboratory and brought them here to Farside to cause these accidents?"
Grant said, "Sherlock Holmes."
"What?"
"In one of the Sherlock Holmes stories, he says that once you've eliminated all the obvious possibilities, then whatever remains, no matter how unlikely it seems, has got to be the answer."
"That's not quite the correct quotation," Luongo said, removing her glasses. "But I understand what you mean."
McClintock still looked unconvinced. "A secret lab on Earth? It's melodramatic."
"But it could be a possibility," Luongo said very seriously.
"Who would carry nanomachines all the way from Earth to cause disaster here at Farside?" McClintock demanded. "And why? What possible reason could he have?"
"Not he," said Grant.
"She."
"She?"
"Anita Halleck."
"Anita?"
McClintock's jaw dropped open. "She's the only visitor from Earthside that we've had for the past few months. And she's placed well enough, high enough, to have access to a rogue nano lab."
"You're forgetting that Swedish fellow," McClintock said.
"Palmquist."
"What motive would he have for trying to harm us?" Grant demanded.
"What motive would Anita have?" McClintock countered.
"She's still at Cellini, isn't she?" Grant pointed out.
"Let's get her here and ask her about this."
"What good would that do?" McClintock groused. "Even if she's the one, she'd just deny it all. And you don't just tell Anita Halleck to haul her butt over here. She'd laugh in your face."
"I would like to talk to her, however," said Luongo.
"Lots of luck," McClintock said.
"Maybe Doug Stavanger could help us," Cardenas suggested. "He still swings a lot of weight at Cellini."
Grant nodded. He saw that McClintock still looked utterly unconvinced. But Luongo pulled out her pocket phone and said clearly,
"Douglas Stavanger, at Cellini."
Tete-a-tete. "This is pretty awkward for me," said Douglas Stavanger. Sitting beside him on the automated tractor that ran from Armstrong Spaceport back to Cellini proper, Anita Halleck appraised Stavanger coolly. He really is quite handsome, she thought. His face was youthfully taut, strong bone structure, and just a hint of some African ancestry in his light mocha skin tone. "And his body is filled with nanomachines," she reminded herself.
"It must be quite important for you to take me off the Earthbound shuttle," she replied.
For long moments, Stavanger said nothing. Halleck watched the shadows flicker across his face as the tractor trundled along below the tunnel's overhead lights. He looked grim, troubled. At last, Stavanger spoke up.
"You know about the accidents at Farside?"
"That rocket that blew up," Halleck said.
"And earlier, a man was killed when his spacesuit failed."
"What does that have to do with me?"
Shifting uncomfortably on the tractor's thinly cushioned seat, Stavanger answered,
"The chief of our accident investigation team wants to talk to you about it. At Farside." A pang of alarm surged through Halleck.
I don't want to go to Farside. I'm due back in my office in Geneva tomorrow.
I'm afraid that will have to wait. You're going to Farside. Anger flared.
You can't force me to go to Farside. I have my rights.
Trying to smile, Stavanger said, You can go voluntarily, or we can obtain an order from the Governing Council. It's your choice.
An order?
This could turn out to be a homicide investigation, after all. We don't have much of a crime rate here at Cellini, but we do have the legal apparatus in place, and security people to enforce the rules. Halleck bit back the reply she started to snap out at him. For several heartbeats, she stared at Stavanger.
He's not happy about this, but he's concerned about what's going on at Farside, she realized. He's trying to put it gently, but the government of Cellini will arrest me like some common criminal if I don't cooperate.
I understand, she said at last.
I'll call my office and tell them that I'll be staying here a few days longer than I expected.
Stavanger's relief was palpable. Thank you, Mrs. Halleck. Thank you for understanding. 6 hours later, Anita Halleck approached the same tractor, this time bound outward to the spaceport and a lobber waiting to fly her to Farside. She had chosen to wear a simple jumpsuit of pearl gray. No sense dressing up for Farside, she told herself. None of those techies would appreciate it. But as she climbed up into the tractor, she remembered that Carter McClintock was at Farside. Carter appreciates the finer things in life, she thought, smiling inwardly. To her surprise, Edith Elgin was already in the tractor, dressed in a coral pink floral camp shirt and comfortable twill shorts.
"Welcome aboard," said Edith brightly. "You're going to Farside?" Halleck asked as she sat beside Edith. "I surely am. I'm going to coordinate the news media interviews with Professor Ulrich."
"Interviews? About the accidents?"
As the tractor lurched into motion, Edith shook her head negatively.
"No, no. About New Earth.
Professor Ulrich's discovered the planet's got an atmosphere like Earth's."
"Has he?"
"News bureaus Earthside are all a-twitter about it.
They can't send people to Farside because of the lockdown. So I'm going to coordinate their requests for interviews and background info."
"Really? I thought no one was allowed into Farside while the accident investigation is proceeding."
Edith grinned, strong white teeth gleaming.
"Almost no one," she said. "But why are you going?"
"Ask your husband," Halleck grumbled.
By the time they landed at Farside, Edith and Halleck had exchanged their life histories. Up to a point. As they trudged along the springy access tube to Farside's minuscule reception center, Edith was saying,
"You mean nobody's ever done a documentary on your life? Cripes, it'd be spectacular."
Halleck shrugged.
"If you think it makes sense to do it."
They stepped through the airlock hatch and into the reception area. Nate Oberman sprang to his feet the instant he recognized Anita Halleck.
"Mrs. Halleck," he said, "I couldn't believe it when I saw your name on the manifest."
"Hello, Mr. Oberman," she said sweetly, turning to Edith. "Do you know Edie Elgin?"
"I have seen you on the vids a lot, Ms. Elgin," said Oberman. "Welcome to Farside."
"Thanks," Edith said. "Could somebody take me to Professor Ulrich's office, please?"
"I'll call his assistant, Dr. Yost."
Halleck said,
"And I'm supposed to meet a Dr. Luongo."
"That is me,"
said Letitia Luongo, entering the reception area from the corridor door. She, too, was in one-piece coveralls, burnt orange.
"Thank you for coming, Mrs. Halleck."
Resisting an urge to complain about being forced to come to Farside, Halleck said,
"I'll be happy to assist your investigation in any way I can, naturally."
"I appreciate that.
Allow me to show you to your quarters."
With a parting glance at Edith, Halleck followed the tall, leggy Luongo out into the corridor. Edith clutched her travel bag in both hands, while Oberman sat back behind his desk and made a phone call. He looked up at Edith, grinning.
"Dr. Yost'll be here in a couple of minutes."
"Thanks."
His grin widening, Oberman explained,
"This place is so small it only takes a couple minutes to get anywhere."
"I see."
"Would you like to sit down?"
Oberman pointed to the trio of sculpted plastic chairs against the far wall. It feels good to stand, actually, said